Let's go ahead and get started on week number 39 of our 4.5 year journey through all of God's inspired word. We take up our story today in the book of Numbers, chapter 32. Remember, it's the very last bit of the 40 years of the wilderness wandering. It's the 40th year of the Exodus. And Moses has already been told that he will soon be going to the top of the mountain above the encampment of the Israelites there in the plains of Moab, and he will pass away and be buried there outside of the Promised Land, just like his brother and just like his sister. Before that happens, he needs to get every bit of his responsibility discharged with the Israelites. And that includes talking to them now about inheritance and how that's going to work. Now, before he talks to the larger group about their inheritance in the land of Israel, he has a new wrinkle put into the situation by the Reubenites, the Gadites, and some of the very large group of Manasseh tribe members. And the story begins in verse 1 of chapter 32. Now the people of Reuben and the people of Gad had a very great number of livestock. So they got lots and lots of cattle. And they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead. And behold, the place was a place for livestock. So we're talking about the eastern side of the Jordan Valley. Now the Promised Land is on the western side of the Jordan Valley. So these guys are looking at the recently acquired territory from their defensive war against the Amorites. And this territory is going to be given to the Israelites, and these tribes are saying, we'd like first dibs on this property because it's perfect for running cattle on. Verse 2, so the people of Gad and the people of Reuben came and they said to Moses and to Eleazar the priest and to the chiefs of the congregations. So they've called a leadership council. They've got Moses there, they've got the high priest there, and they've got the heads of the people of Israel. Probably we're talking about the Sanhedrin. And then they said this, Ataroth, Divon, Jazer, Nimra, Heshbon, Elilah, Sabim, Nebo, and Beon, the land which he who is struck down before the congregation of Israel is a land for livestock, and your servants have livestock. So it's a list of the cities close in to where Israel is currently encamped. Jazer is probably less than 20 miles away from where they're encamped right now. So these are the close-in cities, but the territory that they have taken by self-defense goes all the way up to the area just east of the Sea of Galilee, because that was the territory that these Amorite kings had control of. But they list off the closest fortified cities. And then they say this again, verse 5. They said, if we have found favor in your sight, let this land be given to your servants for a possession. Do not take us across the Jordan. So they make the appeal, an official request. We like this property best. Let us inherit this as our land. Now Moses is immediately frustrated by this. And he sees danger in some sort of rebellion happening again where these guys are saying, we don't want to go into the Promised Land. Verse 6, Moses said to the people of Gad and to the people of Reuben, shall your brothers go to the war while you sit here? Why will you discourage the heart of the people of Israel from going over into the land that he who his has given them? Your fathers did this when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up to the valley of Eshcol, and they saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the people of Israel from going into the land that He who is had given them. And He who is's anger was kindled on that day, and he swore, saying, surely none of the men who came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, because they did not wholly follow me. None except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kizanite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed He who is. And He who is his anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all that generation that had done evil in the sight of He who is was gone. And behold, you've risen up in your father's place, a brood of sinful men, to increase still more the fierce anger of He who is against Israel. For if you turn away from following him, he will again abandon them in the wilderness, and you will destroy all this people. So Moses is right on top of these guys. And he lets the emotion that has been carrying with him this entire wilderness experience come forward here. And we can see that. He says, you guys, you kids, because there is no one in this assembly any older than 60, unless you count Joshua and Caleb, who are in their 80s. Because of this very incident that Moses is referencing here. The fact that at Kadesh Barnea, the response to the majority report of the spies was, we can't take the land. We're not going to go in. And so God puts the penalty on them. This whole faithless generation is going to be barred from going into the promised land because they didn't follow through in faith when I offered it to them. So Moses is seeing here the potential of repeat of this problem. Now that is actually not what's going on here. Because these men now express the intention that they have already to go into the promised land, fight for it. The only thing they're asking is, we don't want anything on that side of the river because we really like what we already see here for the running of cattle. So this is their response, verse 16. They came near to him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our livestock and cities for our little ones. But we will take up arms and go be ready to go before the people of Israel until we have brought them to their place. And our little ones shall live in the fortified cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return to our homes until each of the people of Israel has gained their inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on the other side of the Jordan and beyond, because our inheritance has come to us on this side to the east. This side of the Jordan to the east. So they say, no, Moses, that's not what we're telling you. We are ready to jump into the battles that it's going to take to bring Canaan into the hands of the Israelis, to expel the Canaanites that are sinful. We're all on board with that. All we're saying is, we want to inherit this property because it suits our purposes best for running cattle. So this is our intention. This is what we're asking you to let us do. We want to put our kids and our wives and probably some sort of representative group of men to support them into the fortified cities that we've already named. And they will start taking care of their day-to-day living in our territory. While we, the bulk of us, we're going to take up arms and we will be the vanguard. We'll be right there at the point. We'll be the point of the spear to go into the promised land. And once we've secured it, once we've helped take the promised land and our brothers in Israel have received their inheritance, that's when we will come back here and take up our lives. So that's really what we intended. And this pacifies Moses. This is perfectly appropriate for him. Verse 20, so Moses said to them, if you will do this, if you will take up arms to go before he who is for the war, and every armed man of you will pass over the Jordan before he who is until he has driven out his enemies from before him, and the land is subdued before he who is, then after that you shall return and be free of obligation to he who is and to Israel, and this land shall be your possession before he who is. So, yes, if you're willing to do exactly what you said, then yes, you may have this territory. But, verse 23, if you will not do so, behold, you've sinned against he who is, and be sure your sin will find you out. Now, if you've wondered, this is the source of that quote that you'll hear even in secular circles. So go ahead, build cities for your little ones. And actually, the building is probably going to be rebuilding of some of the damage done in taking this territory within the last few months. Build cities for your little ones, folds for your sheep, do what you've promised. And the people of Gad and the people of Reuben said to Moses, your servants will do as my Lord commands. Our little ones, our wives, our livestock, and all our cattle shall remain there in the cities of Gilead. But your servants will pass over every man who is armed for war before he who is to battle as my Lord commands or orders. So Moses gave commands concerning them to Eleazar the priest and to Joshua the son of Nun and to the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the people of Israel. Now the reason he's doing that, because he won't be here in a few more months. Like I said, we're probably in the 9th or 10th month of this 40th year. The book of Deuteronomy starts at the beginning of the 11th month, I think. And so Moses has got only a matter of a few months left. These guys will be the ones that will have to make sure that these guys keep their deal. Verse 30 or 29, Moses said to them, if the people of Gad and the people of Reuben, every man who is armed to battle before he who is will pass with you over the Jordan and the land will be subdued before you, then you shall give them the land of Gilead for possession. However, if they don't pass over with you armed, they shall have possession among you in the land of Canaan. So if they try to stay over here completely, don't bother to come over on your side, then they don't get this land, and you will tell them, if you want territory, you have to come over here to the other side of Jordan, into Canaan itself, and get it, because God's not giving you that land now because you didn't keep your deal. Verse 31, people of Gad, the people of Reuben answered, what he who is has said to your servants, we will do. We will pass over armed before he who is into the land of Canaan, and the possession of our inheritance shall remain with us beyond the Jordan. Now, beyond the Jordan in that context means east of the Jordan. And Paran in the New Testament is the way of referring to that territory. Verse 33, Moses gave to them, to the people of Gad, to the people of Reuben, those are the two groups that we've been specifically talking about, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. Now, Manasseh is a great big tribe, and apparently, as they became aware of this appeal, this request going on, they started thinking, hey, wouldn't it be a good idea for us to split our great big tribe into west of the Jordan and east of the Jordan groups and spread out a little bit more? And so that's what they do, and that's why you hear about the half-tribe of Manasseh here. And when you'll eventually see these on a map, you will see that the two halves of the Manasseh tribe are kind of across the river from each other. Now, where are they taking over? Well, they're taking over the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, the land and its cities with their territories, the cities of the land throughout the country. Those two kings were not on the hit list of the Canaanites. They were outside the boundaries of the Promised Land. The only reason that they lost their territory is because they attacked Israel first. And there is this principle that if you are attacked and you defend yourself and you capture territory in that process of defending yourself, that territory is now yours. And so that's how this annexed portion of the Promised Land comes into existence. The Promised Land technically is west of the Jordan River line. And that goes all the way up to the side of Mount Hermon, up past Galilee. That's, and we'll see that in just a little bit. That's the technical Promised Land, is west of that line. East of that was supposed to be set aside for the inheritance of the other sons of Abraham, people like Ishmael and all of his descendants, and Esau and his descendants, and other sons of Keturah that Abraham had. All of them were supposed to be over here on the east side. But now the Israelis have territory there. And then we go through the list of the towns. The people of Gad built Dibon, Ataroth, Arior, Ataroth, Shofan, Jazer, Jogbaha, Beth Nimra, Beth Haran, fortified cities and folds for the sheep. The people of Reuben built Heshbon, which would be a different Heshbon, Elila, Kiriathayim, Nebo, Bel, Meon. Their names were changed, and Sibma. And they gave other names to the cities they built. And the sons of Machir, the son of Manasseh, went to Gilead, that's to the north, and captured it, and dispossessed the Amorites who were in it. And Moses gave Gilead to Machir, the son of Manasseh, and he settled in it. And Yair, the son of Manasseh, went and captured their villages and called them Havoth Yair, or the villages of Yair. And Nobah went and captured Kenat in its villages and called it Nobah after his own name. And we'll see some of these names, like Yair, show up in the names of different places in stories later in the history. And they're east of the Jordan Valley. Chapter 33, we're going to skip over because we've used it already. I'll read the introduction to it. These are the stages of the people of Israel when they went out of the land of Egypt by their companies under the leadership of Moses and Aaron. Moses wrote down their starting places, stage by stage, by command of He Who Is, and these are their stages according to their starting places. They set out from Ramses in the first month on the 15th day of the first month. That's the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It's the Passover exit. On the day after the Passover, the people went out triumphantly in the sight of all the Egyptians, while the Egyptians were burying all their firstborn, whom He Who Is had struck down among them on their gods also. He Who Is executed judgments. And so the people of Israel set out from Ramses, camped at Sukkot. They went from Sukkot and camped at Etam, which is on the edge of the wilderness. They set out from Etam and turned back to Pi-Hahirot, which is east of Baal Zephon, and they camped before Migdol. Now that is the place that they were at preparing for the crossing of the Red Sea. And then from there, you basically have several other locations until they arrive at Mount Sinai. And then from Mount Sinai, they go different places until they arrive at Paran, or the southern border, getting ready to go in Canaan. And then we have the whole extra years tacked on. And then we've got, I think, somewhere like 18 different places that are listed that they had camped during the penalty years of their wandering. And that roughly works out to they must have spent about 2 years at each of those encampments until they were finished with their penalty phase. And then they go back and once again at Kadesh Barnea on the southern border, and they prepare now for the final phase of getting ready to go to the Promised Land. So we've kind of used that at different points, this list, to show the different stages as they were on their 40-year wilderness journey. Verse number 50 of chapter 33 says that he who is spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho. So Jericho is on the west side of the Jordan, and the plains of Moab are opposite. It's a flat area. You can, if you get out something like Google Earth, you can find Jericho and then look across the Jordan and a little bit to the south, and you will see this great big flat area. It's irrigated now, and you can see a patchwork of agricultural lands. It's somewhere in that vicinity that Israel was located during the time that Moses is prepping them for his death and them going into the Promised Land. And so he is there, and he says to them, verse 51, "Speak to the people of Israel, say to them, when you pass over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, and you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their figured stones, destroy all their metal images, demolish all their high places." So get rid of all of their worship items. "And you shall take possession of the land and settle in it, for I've given the land to you to possess it. You shall inherit the land by lot according to your clans. To a large tribe you shall give a large inheritance, to a smaller tribe you shall give a smaller inheritance. Wherever the lot falls for anyone, that shall be his. According to the tribes of your fathers you shall inherit." Now, the way the lot is going to work is each of the tribes is going to be given a region appropriately large enough for the number of people in their tribe. And then each family group, each adult male, is going to be given a family farm, as we would say, a region by lot that they are then going to possess and pass on through inheritance. So it is in everybody's best interest to help get all of the Promised Land as quickly as possible under their control. Verse 55, "If you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then those of them whom you let remain shall be as barbs in your eyes, thorns in your sides, and they shall trouble you in the land where you dwell, and I will do to you as I thought to do to them." So these Canaanites are on the eviction list for God, and the Israelis are supposed to act as the sheriffs to kick them out. It is because of their sinfulness, because of their worship of their gods and goddesses, and all of the horrible things that go along with that. They are warned, if you don't evict them, they are going to cause you trouble, and then you are going to be on my eviction list, and I will boot you out of the land. Which is actually what does happen eventually through the Assyrians and the Babylonians, and then again later with the Romans. Let's kind of finish up with chapter 34's description of the boundaries of the technical Promised Land. Now, this is not going to include the annexed territories on the east side. Verse 1. "He who is spoke to Moses, saying, command the people of Israel, say to them, when you enter the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall to you for inheritance, the land of Canaan as defined by its borders. Your south side shall be from the wilderness of Zin along Edom, and your southern border shall run from the end of the Salt Sea," that's the Dead Sea, on the east. Your border shall turn south of the ascent of Akrabim, or the ascent of scorpions, and cross to Zin. So basically, you start at the southern part of the Dead Sea. You go due south about halfway to the Gulf of Aqaba. That's where Kadesh Barnea is located, I believe. And that is the southeast corner. And then it says, "You shall its limits shall be south of Kadesh Barnea. Then it shall go up to Hazar Adar and pass along to Asnon. And the border shall turn from Asmon to the brook of Egypt, and its limit shall be at the sea." So if you follow the wadi that goes up from where Kadesh Barnea was located to where the watershed ends, then you go up and over the hill a little bit. You then jump onto another watershed that goes all the way to the Mediterranean, and it dumps out near Gaza. That's the southern border. Verse 6, "For the western border, you shall have the Great Sea," that's the Med, "and its coast. This shall be your western border. Your northern border, from the Great Sea, you shall draw a line to Mount Hor." That's not the Mount Hor in the south. This is one in the north. This line starts somewhere between Tyre and Sidon. "You shall draw a line to Lebo Hamat." That's the entrance to Hamath. That's a little bit north of Dan. And then its borders shall be to Zedad. Borders shall extend to Zephron. Its limits shall be to Hazon Enon. And this shall be your northern border. So that's over at the foothill of Mount Hermon. "You shall draw a line from the eastern border from Hazar Enon to Shaphan. And the border shall go down from Shaphan to Ribla on the east side of An." Now that's not Ribla in the far north. This is down by the Sea of Galilee. "The border shall go down and reach to the shoulder of the Sea of Kinneroth," which is the Sea of Galilee, "on the east. And then the border shall go down the Jordan, and its limit shall be the Salt Sea, and this shall be the land as defined by your borders all around." So that is the technical promised land. The Israelis will have the annexed territory as well for much of their history. But the promised land is a very specific limited area once known as Canaan.